Last night, we started this revival series by looking at who? Moses, all right? And we saw that God had a plan for Moses. Even after Moses thought he had blown it, God still had a plan. And even though Moses was older, God still had a plan. It didn't matter who Moses was. It didn't matter what he had done or what he had failed to do. It didn't matter how old he was, because it was God who was with him. And we're reminded that God is with us. He isn't done with us yet. As long as we have breath in our bodies and blood flowing through our veins, there's something we can do for God. Now tonight we're going to be looking at another hero of our faith. And he was a man who once had persecuted the church, but Jesus still had a plan for him. And before I get to him, let me tell you about another man that I know. This man, his name is Mahipal. I think is there a picture? Oh yeah, I see it right there. Mahipal. He was a Hindu extremist in India. In fact, he was a leader of the Hindu extremists. He was an ardent believer that Hinduism should be an Indian religion and that all other religions like Christianity and Islam should be cast out of India even with force. And so that's what he did. Not only that, but he was paid to train other Hindu extremists in the tactics of persecution. They mapped out where all the churches were. They taught them how to burn down buildings, and they attacked leaders. When he would have these conferences, there would be like 1,500 Hindus in these conferences learning how to persecute Christians. And so he was paid by the Hindu extremists. He was respected by them. He was a man of influence. He had a car that they paid for, a home that they paid for. Everything he had was because of this effort. Now, Mahipal was a dangerous man. Someone no Christian would ever want to be around. And most Christians who knew him avoided him like the plague. Now sometimes, like the early believers did with Saul of Tarsus, we will write off people because of their past. We look at someone's history and we assume their story is already over because of the bad or evil things they've done. But the truth is, God isn't through with people even when everyone else thinks that he is. Saul was a persecutor of Christians too. And if there was ever anyone who you'd think God couldn't use, it was Saul. And yet, God chose him to change the world. Now, many of us, if we're honest, have these moments when we think, well, God can't use me after all I've done. I mean, I've failed too many times. Or I used to be passionate about faith, but I've sort of drifted away. Or I messed up my marriage or my finances or my reputation. There's just no coming back from that. Or maybe I've wasted too many years. And you know, we convince ourselves that we've fallen off God's plan. That maybe he's moved on to someone else. Or maybe we hope that he's moved on to someone else. Maybe we think it's time for us to retire and not serve God anymore. But then we open up Acts chapter 9 and we see Saul, public enemy number one for the church. And he became and was renamed Paul. the missionary who would take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Now, his story says what we all need to hear, that you're never too far gone for God to reach you, to redeem you, and to repurpose your life. And so the big idea for our message tonight is that God sees potential where others only see the past. Let's say that again. God sees potential where others only see the past. When everyone else saw Saul as a monster, Jesus saw him as a missionary. When the church saw a threat, Jesus saw a testimony in the making. And that brings us to our first point tonight, that no one is too far gone for grace. No one is too far gone for grace. Now, Saul wasn't indifferent to Jesus. He was actually hostile towards Jesus. He hated Jesus and those who followed Jesus. So in Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 1, we read, "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. And as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' Saul asked. 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting,' he replied. 'Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.' The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. And so they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. And the Lord called to him in a vision, 'Ananias.' And Ananias said, 'Yes, Lord.' And the Lord told him, 'Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight.'" You see, God, Jesus, was the first GPS. He told him exactly where he needed to go. Now, Saul was breathing out murderous threats, meaning violence was the very air he breathed, right? I don't know if you've ever been around somebody that was very angry, and the language they were using is terrible, and the anger and hatred is just coming out of them. You don't really want to be around that kind of person. And yet, Jesus didn't strike him down. He actually called him out. I would think if we had been around Saul, we would move as far away from him as possible, wouldn't you? I mean, he would scare you and threaten you. Paul would later write these words to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 through 16. "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners," and he finished it with, "of whom I am the worst." You know, if grace could reach Saul, friends, it can reach anyone. Now, going back to my story about Mahipal was very happy in his hatred. You ever met somebody who was just happy to hate people? Just hated. He had power, he had followers, he had purpose, so he thought. Well, God knew where to find him. And God used something that Mahipal could not ignore. And that was his wife. You see, Mahipal may have been an evil man to the Christians, but that man loved his wife. He cared about her. And she became deathly ill. So ill that she couldn't even get out of bed. And he knew she was slowly dying right before his eyes. The doctors couldn't help. They spent all the money they could on doctors. The Hindu gods that they prayed to stayed silent. He was losing his hope. He was losing his wife. And I don't know about you, when we're in those situations where we see someone slipping away from us, we can become desperate. Well, one day, as Mahipal was experiencing all of this despair, a Sikh man came into his office and noticed that he was just downcast. And the Sikh man asked Mahipal what was wrong, and Mahipal explained about his wife. And the man said something shocking. I want you to understand, a Sikh man is not a Christian. But the Sikh man said this. He said, "You should pray to Jesus because he answers prayer." Isn't that amazing? Now, Mahipal erupted in anger when this man said this. I mean, he nearly attacked the man. He sent him out of his office, said, "Don't come back." That night when he went home, he was still angry and fuming. He told his wife the story. And she asked him a question that would change everything. She said, "Why not pray to Jesus? We've tried everything else." And that night, Mahipal prayed his first prayer to Jesus. What a moment. A prayer that started in desperation opened the door to grace. And maybe that could be true for some of you. When you finally reach the end of yourself, that's often where God begins His best work in us. Maybe you've walked away from faith and think God is done with you, but He's not. Maybe you burned some bridges and shame keeps you silent or hidden away in the shadows, but grace still calls your name. Maybe you've hurt others and think that defines you, but Jesus specializes in redemption stories. I think your preacher can tell you some of those stories. Maybe you've been blind to God's goodness, but He's about to open your eyes. Who have you written off, maybe even including yourself, as too far gone? Friends, grace doesn't avoid our mess. Grace invades it. And it's important to remember this truth, and this is point two of our message, that God sees what others can't see. Let me say that again. God sees what others can't see. God saw something in Saul that not one of those other Christians could see. And in verse 13, we pick back up the narrative. Ananias answered, "Lord, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." Isn't it amazing how word got out about things like that? How in the world? But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Now listen, Ananias wasn't wrong. Saul was dangerous. In fact, the first time we meet Saul, he's standing there gleefully holding the cloaks of others as they take stones and they pelt Stephen, one of Jesus' servants, to death. It's sort of like a lot of people who on social media were thrilled that Charlie Kirk was murdered. And you think, how can a person be thrilled about the murder of another person? And that was Saul. He was excited about it. He was a dangerous man. And so when Ananias says, "Lord, do you know who this man is?" That's almost humorous to me. It's as if God didn't know. But God saw more than Saul's past. He saw the purpose that he had for Saul. In Romans 8:28, we read, "In all things, God works for the good of those who love him." You know, people see labels, but God sees a destiny. God sees beyond the label. The church saw a threat. God saw a preacher. Ananias saw danger. God saw a disciple. And going back to my friend Mahipal, when he prayed that prayer, what he was really doing, and maybe some of us have done it too, was taking a shot in the dark. You know what I mean? When you're so desperate, you don't know what you're going to do. He was desperate to try anything. And he prayed that prayer. And within a week, his wife was healed. She was out of bed and walking around. And he was convinced that Jesus was the real deal. And so he wanted to know more about Jesus. Now, he didn't know anything about Jesus. He knew where the Christians worshiped, and he knew that they worshiped Jesus, but he didn't know who Jesus was. He didn't bother himself with those details. He just knew that they weren't Hindus. Now, he wanted to learn more about Jesus. And so he did the only thing that he could think of. He went to one of those very churches that he had planned to destroy. He had it mapped out. They knew when the worship was going to take place. He shows up early. He got there. He stood outside. And he waited for someone to come. Well, church time came and nobody was there. And he kept waiting, and an hour went by. And finally, one lone soul approached him. The pastor. Isn't it something how folks expect the pastor to go face down the devil? By the way, I know that would not be true of this church. I know y'all love him and will stand by him no matter what. Now the man asked Mahipal, "What are you doing here?" And Mahipal said, "I've come to learn about Jesus." And the pastor said, "Everyone knows who you are. No one will come because they're afraid." But the pastor took a risk, like Ananias did. And he introduced Mahipal to Dr. Ajay Lal. And through Ajay's teaching, Mahipal met the real Jesus and submitted himself to his lordship. Maybe like Saul and Mahipal, our past was not very friendly to Jesus or the church. And I get it, because I know that many people have had bad experiences in church. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you ever had a bad experience in church, but this is a fairly common thing among Christian folks. Sadly, many evil people use the name of Jesus to do their evil deeds. But it's not the church's fault, and it's not Jesus' fault. The devil uses counterfeits all the time. And many people turn away from religion or the church because of it. Maybe you've even had anger towards the church or towards Jesus. Maybe you felt far away from God. But friend, I want you to know that God sees beyond all that, and He sees you. And He loves you. He knows your hurt. He knows your pain. He knows your struggle. And I want to tell you something. He has a greater purpose for your life. Because He can use all of those things that you've been through that have sort of turned you off of religion. God can use all of that stuff to help other people find Jesus. And so just a couple of questions. Have others judged you by your past? I'm sure that there are some here who might not have been perfect little angels coming up, right? Have you judged someone else by their past? Maybe you've even judged yourself. This is the question we need to ask. Are we willing to let God define us, not our reputation? You see, what others see as a lost cause, God sees as His next miracle. And because of that, and our final point tonight is, that transformation is always possible with Jesus. As we continue Saul's story, we discover that God actually had a plan for Saul. We go to verses 17 through 19 of our text. Then Ananias went to the house and he entered it. And placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. And he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. You know, God needs us to help those that He calls. Because sometimes that person that may have judged themselves unworthy, when they come into the presence of other Christians and are rejected, that could be the death of their faith. But when we welcome them and love them and try to support them and encourage them, like Ananias did. Did you notice what Ananias did before Saul ever said a word? Ananias said, "Brother Saul." I think that's grace. Calling someone brother even before they've been proven themselves. And immediately the scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. But I want to tell you, maybe for the first time in his life, he could see spiritual truth that he had been blinded to. He was baptized, he ate, he grew strong. He became a new man with a new mission in Jesus Christ. Later he would write in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here." And he was speaking from experience. He knew what it meant to be a new creation. Jesus doesn't just clean us up, He completely remakes us. I remember a fellow years ago that I baptized into Christ, and he was about 63 when I met him. He had been a highway patrolman up in Massachusetts, had gone into education and things like that, and when he was a highway patrolman, he had been married, had a couple of sons, but he was not a good husband, not a good father, and ended up just destroying that marriage, ended up getting into alcohol, had after that got remarried, had a couple of other children, and somehow they wound up in our church down in Greenville. And one day I was talking to him. We were having this big fall festival outside, and I had talked about having a relationship with Jesus. Now, he grew up Catholic, and he had no concept of having a relationship with Jesus. That just didn't make sense. And so he asked me, could you explain this to me? So we're sitting out there during this big fall festival, and I explained it to him. And when I'm through, maybe an hour or two in, I said, what do you want to do? He says, I want to get baptized. And I want to do it right now. He said, I'm going to run home. I'm going to get some clothes. I'm going to come back. Can we do it now? I said, are you kidding me? I can't do it. Oh, I didn't say that. I'm going to tell you that. And when I baptized that guy, when he came up out of that water, it was like this burden had been lifted. And he was a new man. And to this day, he is one of my dearest brothers in the faith. I think of what happened with Mahi Paul. He studied the Bible with Ajay. He surrendered his life to Jesus. And then he decided he wanted to be a preacher. He had used those gifts and skills to train all these, you know, thousands of Hindu extremists. Now he wanted to use that for Jesus. And since he became a Christian, he's baptized over 10,000 people in India. Think about that. Once he told Ajay about a baptismal service that they were planning. And they were going down to the river. And they were going to baptize some people. It happened that this was on a Hindu holiday. So when they got down to the river, there were thousands of these Hindus in the water. They were doing their ceremonial washings and things. And Ajay saw all of them. And Ajay said, brother, maybe we should wait. Maybe we should come back when these people are gone. And Mahi Paul said, no. Let the world see what Jesus has done. Man, I tell you, that's a transformation. From a persecutor to a preacher, from a hunter to a healer, from destroyer of churches to builder of the kingdom. Mahi Paul has been imprisoned 15 times in India for preaching Jesus Christ. But he keeps going. Because when God rewrites your story, you live it with courage. Maybe a marriage has fallen apart, and maybe you've been broken by that. But listen, Jesus restores what seems impossible. Maybe your faith feels dry, but Jesus breathes life into deserts. Maybe you've been running from your calling, but Jesus hasn't stopped calling. He's still there. There's still a job that maybe only you can do. Maybe a person that maybe you're the only person that can reach them. Maybe you think your story is over, but God's just turning the page. And friends, maybe you think this church's best days are behind it. But I want to tell you something, friends. Don't limit what God can do with willing and faithful people. What areas of your life do you think are too damaged to change? Let Jesus prove that your past may explain you, but it doesn't define you. Paul went from persecutor to preacher, from a feared enemy to a faithful servant. And I tell you, only grace can do that. And maybe today you need to hear this, that God rewrites stories that others have given up on, that grace finds us when we least deserve it. I want you to remember that your failure isn't final. Jesus doesn't just forgive your past, he repurposes it so that you can learn from it and you can use it to further his kingdom. I just want to encourage you. Because God isn't through with you yet. Father, thank you for the examples of men like Paul and Mahi Paul. Thank you that you redeemed them and used them in your kingdom. Father, if you can do that with those men who seem so far from you, even hostile towards you, I know that you can use us. You can take our failures, you can take our weaknesses, you can turn them into tools for your kingdom. You can totally remake our purpose and our character when we become new creations as your Spirit comes to dwell in us. You can use us for good even after we have been used for evil. Lord, I pray your Spirit is speaking to someone here tonight who may be doubting if you can use them. I pray your Spirit will challenge them, that you will call them, and not only them, but all of us. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this pastor. Thank you for his wife. And all that you have done, and all that you are doing, and all that you will do in their future. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.